shared
with this congregation the prophecy that was made in the beginning of this century, that there would come a time when there would be a people that would praise him but would not pray to him. An apostolic church must always be empowered by prayer, not by giftedness nor talent nor whatever else. And so how many just join me in the prayer room tonight? We're gonna go there. We're going to find a place to pray, find your chair. Everybody in there be praying. You don't have to worry about all the distractions that take place. So if you'll meet us in the prayer room at 5:30 tonight, we're going to pray. I appreciate the praise, appreciate the wonderful worship this church has. But I also want to make sure that we talk to him and we hear him speak to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, what? I love that. He just spent the whole chapter talking about different types of sins and failures. And after he went through all of that, he goes, what? You still haven't got it figured out. Thank you. You still don't know. He said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He was amazed that they had somehow missed this simple yet profound truth. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. After the apostle writes this whole chapter about these things that ought not to be in the church, he then just expresses his amazement with a, what? You haven't got this figured out yet? You don't understand that your body is indeed the temple where God resides. And therefore, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price, and we should glorify God. I want to talk to you this morning about bought with a price. You may be seated. We do not belong to ourselves. I read a story about a young man who went into the military, and when he was there, his comrades at times would come up to him and say, we're going into town. Would you like to go with us? We're going to such and such a place or bar. Would you like to go dancing? Would you like to go watch an inappropriate movie? Would you like to go with us into town so we can pick up some girls? His reply was always the same principle. When they would say, do you want to go? He said, nope, I don't have any feet. My feet belong to God. You want to go? No, my eyes. I don't have any eyes. They belong to somebody else. I don't have any desire to say things that are profuse, and ungodly, because I don't have a mouth. My mouth belongs to God. My hands belong to God. My feet belong to God. And so therefore, I cannot choose my own way to go. I've been bought with a price. There's a cliche that goes like this. We need to watch our thoughts because we think little things really are not important, but we need to guard and watch our thoughts because those thoughts will become words. And watch your words because those words will become actions. And we need to watch our actions because our actions will become habits. And we need to watch our habits because our habits will become character, and we need to watch our character, because our character will determine our destiny. We used to sing a song years ago. I don't know if we've ever sang it here, but we did in the South at least. It says, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For our Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little feet, where you go." Somewhere along the way, from the Christian perspective, we have to find ourselves just before the Apostle Paul's exclamation of, "What? You haven't figured this out? This simple truth doesn't just ring in your soul and your heart? Do you not know that you are not your own? You're bought with a price. That God paid the supreme price of His love and His life so you and I can have what we have today in Him. I'm here to proclaim to you, we've got to get past the what. We've got to come to the place where we can realize that we belong to Him. I cannot make up my mind about what I want. I need to say, what does He want? It's not what can I do, it's what does He want me to do. It's not what gifts do I have, it's what can I give back to Him. Because I'm not my own. I can't just choose. I'm not just American, and so I can have a right to make my own decisions. When I came to Him, I gave all of that up. And I said, I will serve Him. We need to ask ourselves some questions before we ever make a decision about what we're going to do or say or go. First one would be, will this please the Lord? We need to weigh everything by our relationship with Jesus Christ. I know it's not a popular message. I know in this day and age, everybody wants to do their own thing. But in the heart of every child of God, there has got to be a burning passion to do His thing, not our thing. It's His will, not our will. It's what He wants, not what we want. It's not what we can find to bring upon ourselves, but what can I give to Him that is important? So I must remember that I'm not my own. When I walk out of here, I belong to Him. When I go to school, I belong to Him. When I go to work, I belong to Him. When I go in the store, I belong to Him. And everything I do, it represents Jesus Christ. In the scripture, we're taught that we need to ask ourselves, would this please the Lord if He was here walking along beside me today? Could I do this today if He was here? And sometimes we fail to remember that He is here, that this God is everywhere present. And because we have not seen Him in a physical body, but if there was a physical body here rather than a spiritual presence, would we do the same thing? Would we say the same thing? Would our goal be to please Him rather than myself? Second question we need to ask is, will this negatively affect my witness as a child of God? What I do, because I'm not my own, I represent Him. When I leave here, or while I'm here, I represent Jesus Christ in everything I do, which is why I do believe that we ought to praise Him, that sitting on a pew does not bring glory to God. But when your heart begins to swell up and your mouth gets open and your hand goes up and all of a sudden you recognize, I'm not just sitting in a building, but this is a place where I have come to lift him up, that he would be glorified in the midst of this house. And so I cannot sit here and not worship. If he was sitting beside me, I wonder how quickly my hand would go up. Wonder how fast my mouth would be open, and wonder how passionate my worship would be. Would what I'm doing please the Lord? Would it negatively affect my witness, or would it negatively affect my brother or my sister? Apostle Paul said, if eating meat offend my brother, I won't eat meat as long as the world stands. And I don't have time to go into all of that in the book of Romans, but I'm just going to tell you. He said, don't offend your brother. Don't use your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, he writes. That what I do, if it negatively affects somebody else, whether it's my brother or it's somebody outside of the ark of safety, I still need to make sure as a Christian, because I'm not my own. I can't just choose what I want to do. But as a Christian, I need to make sure that I will not harm my brother or my witness of who Jesus Christ is. We need to ask ourselves, are we absolutely convinced, biblically, not emotionally, because we're emotional, we run on emotions in this country, but from a biblical perspective, are we absolutely convinced that what I'm doing is right and that I shouldn't do this because it's wrong? I've said it many times through the year. My old pastor, Brother Seekers, used to tell us, when in doubt, just don't. If you don't know, don't. It's not worth harming or in any way negatively impacting your soul. Is if you're not sure that this is the right thing to do, then just don't do it. If you think it may have harmful consequences, don't do it. If you think somehow this is going to negatively affect your walk with God, just don't do it. Nothing in this life is worth putting your spiritual being at risk, because you and I have to answer to him someday. But between here and there, I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. I belong to him, and nothing I can do will ever change that unless I walk away from him. We belong to God because he made us. He can do what he wants with us. He owns us. He made us. He created us. Can the creature say to the creator, I don't like the way you made me? However, I'm going to use what God has given me to the best of my ability, but I'm also going to be content to know that I'm made in his likeness, created in his image. And that's good enough for me. And he is the creator. If I make something, I have made things before or tried to make things that didn't quite come out right. And you just want to, like a potter in the Old Testament, you just kind of break it all down and start over again. God is capable in our lives to make us any way that he wants to make us. And you and I are not our own because he made us. In Ezekiel, he says it this way, all souls are mine, saith the Lord. It really doesn't make any difference if you know God or if you don't know God in this respect, and that is that God owns your soul. He owns my soul. The worst drunk in town, he owns his soul. And one day we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give, to receive the things done in the body, both good and evil, the Bible says in Thessalonians. Because he created us, he can do what he wants with us. We have to come to the realization that I am not my own. The Apostle Paul got through all that whole chapter. And if you remember nothing else about this message today, would you please remember that one little word when the Apostle Paul just blurts out his amazement that they haven't figured this out. He's talked about idolatry and sexual sins and all kind of things that they were doing. And then he got all the way down to the end and said, what, don't you realize why I'm saying all this? Haven't you figured out what's going on? And that is, we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. And so the Apostle Paul just says, what? In amazement, just struck by it, that I've gone through all of this and you haven't figured out the reason why we live right, the reason why we talk right, the reason why there's places we don't go, there's reasons why we don't speak words we don't speak. There are things that go on in our life. Hear me today. He said that you need to understand why you don't do them. It has nothing to do with a list of rules in a church. It has nothing to do with somebody told you what to do. It has to do with your bought with a price. You belong to Him, and because you belong to Him, we live our lives the way we do. What? Haven't you figured it out? Haven't you got it sorted through to realize that the reason we are the way we are is not because some preacher screams and yells at me from a pulpit. It's not because I want to be accepted by a group of people. But I am who I am and what I am because I belong to Him. He created me. Second reason is redemption. We've been redeemed by Him. When I could not redeem myself, He redeemed me. There's a verse. We're going to try a slide here. Joe, the first one. Romans. The Apostle Paul said, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Most of you know, I'm sure, but for those that may not, last night about midnight, Brother Pasley, our longtime pastor in Cincinnati and the Ohio District Superintendent, passed away about midnight last night. And although there will always be sorrow and some hurt that takes place, that family has been encouraged by the fact that he lived his life to the best of his ability to serve Jesus Christ. He gave all that he had. So whether we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, makes no difference. We belong to Him. He redeemed us. His blood covered us. His grace saved us. His Spirit keeps us. We've been redeemed. We belong to Him. What? Haven't you figured that out? Haven't you come to the realization that the reason all of this is being done because we belong to Him? Third reason. We belong to God because we have been and we have dedicated ourselves to Him. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We came to God. And we gave ourselves to Him and dedicated ourselves to Him. I have never known. Now, the Bible says that repentance, we die to the old man. The old creature dies and we're resurrected as a new creature in Christ. I have never known a corpse to complain about anything. You and I need to understand, when we came, we died. And God can do what He wants to this dead man, because I may be dead in this flesh, but I can be alive in the spirit on the inside. And so I have found that this God that I serve has allowed me to dedicate myself to Him and to surrender my will and to die. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. The reason I belong to Him is because I'm just a dead corpse in this flesh. but I'm a living being in the spirit because of his presence in my life. So we present ourselves this living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. There are two strange portions of scripture that deal with the Passover. I know today is Palm Sunday and Jesus entering into the Passover. These two verses in the Old Testament deal with the Passover. First one's found in Numbers chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. There's the next verse, Joe. Try the next one. We just went through there. That's it. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. There is absolutely nothing in my life that he shouldn't control, because I and everything that I am and all that I have belong to him. In Numbers chapter 9, at this Passover, as they were preparing, the Bible says that there were certain men who were defiled ceremonially because they had touched the dead body of an individual. And they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came to Moses before Aaron and said on that day, and these men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body. Wherefore are we kept back, for that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? They said, listen, we were ceremonially unclean because we had touched a dead body. But we want to be a part of what God's doing. And Moses, amazingly to me, says unto them, stand still. I will hear what the Lord will command. Okay, I know what the law says, but I'll go ask God. You'll never go wrong by going and asking God. All right? We need to make sure we hear the right voice, but you'll never go wrong by going to him. So Moses goes to God and says unto them, and the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be on a journey afar off, things that were part of the Mosaic law, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord the 14th day of the second month. It was the first month that the regular Passover was kept. These individuals came and said, we are ceremonially unclean, and we still want to keep the Passover. We want to be a part of what God's doing. And their desire to serve God was so incredibly great that in the middle of all this, Moses, I'll go talk to God. I'm sure Moses thought it will never happen. I'm sure Moses thought, I'm just taking up my time. But he got to a place where he could talk with God, and God said, listen, go tell him I'm going to let him keep the Passover on the second month, the 14th day. Because there's something about desire that God just cannot resist. You and I may have things that are ceremonially, we don't quite have all the pieces of our life put together. But if the desire is strong enough and we give ourselves to him unreservedly, God said, I'll do more than meet you halfway. You want to serve me? I'm going to make it an opportunity for you to come on the second month rather than the first month. But I want you to be a part of my church, a part of my nation, a part of my people. And therefore, I'm going to make a special occasion. You know, sometimes we find ourselves, things in life have touched us, and things in life have somewhat polluted us, and we feel like we're not worthy. But I promise you, if you've got a right spirit and you've got a strong enough desire, God said, I'll turn this whole thing. We'll have a special Passover just for you. I know God gets a bad rap about being hard and difficult. But let me tell you, my experiences have been with him like this. When God says, if you want it bad enough, if you love me enough, I'm going to bend all the guidelines to these ceremonial laws, and I'm going to let you come on the 14th day of the second month, and I'm going to let you have your own Passover. Passover represented that death angel passing over them and God keeping them safe. And then in Chronicles, there's a second story that's almost a Siamese twin to it. In the congregation, there were those that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them for the Lord. For the multitude of the people, even many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover. Otherwise, it was not written. These folks participated and had no right to participate. They didn't come with a request like the folks back in Numbers. They wanted to be a part so bad they just found themselves there. And then it came up, you should not have been there. You were ceremonially unclean. But we wanted to be a part of what God was doing, and so we were there. And the Bible says that Hezekiah prayed for them. Last time it was Moses, this time it's Hezekiah. Hezekiah prayed for them and said, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, and the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed, according to the purification of the sanctuary. You didn't have just every little thing in your life right. And the Bible says, the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Two instances were the Passover. One, they wanted to and couldn't, and recognized they couldn't. And so what they did was they went to Moses and said, what can we do? Our desire is to live for God so passionately. We want to do this. We belong to him. We want to be his children. And so Moses prays, and God says, all right, let's have a special Passover on the second month. In the book of Chronicles, these folks came, they participated, even though they should not have. And then Hezekiah comes and says, God, we got a little problem going here, but these folks love you so much. The desire is so great. They want to be a part of your church. And so God says, okay, Hezekiah, that's fine. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah, and he healed the people that day. I'm here to tell you, if the desire is great enough, and you recognize you're not your own, you're bought with a price, God will make the way. I don't care what he has to bend, how he has to twist life around. God will honor that desire. Would you stand with me? Let me give you an illustration about this God that I serve, this God who loves you. Cain and Abel, they each brought their sacrifice. And God said, I will require one lamb for one person. Every individual's got to bring their own lamb, their own sacrifice. Time went on, and God said, the days of Job, he sacrificed for his whole family. I'm going to require one lamb for a whole family. And God says, you know, that's still too much. So in the days of Moses, it was one lamb for a whole nation. And God said, that's too hard. So I'm going to offer one lamb one time for the sins of the whole world. Need to change the month on the Passover? I'll do it. Need to have Hezekiah pray for you? And God heard that prayer and said, listen, if they want to be a part of my kingdom, that's all right. I will. And God heard Hezekiah, and God healed them. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, but I can tell you this. If somewhere along the way you fail to realize how strong your desire can become and what God can do with a desire that is that intense, he can turn everything in your life around. And we come to the place where we realize, I'm not my own. I belong to him. I'm willing to do whatever God wants, because these are not my hands, these are his. These are not my feet, they're his. It's not my mouth, but his. Everything that I have belongs to him. What? I know. I kind of got it figured out. What Paul says is, what? You represent Jesus Christ. So everything about you needs to be filtered through that lens of, what's it mean to him? Would he do it? How would he do it? Everything. I'm not my own. I'm a slave. I've been bought by the precious blood. In fact, it's been noted countless times through the years. God made heaven and earth. God made Adam. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. But the only thing the Bible ever says that was important enough to God to buy was his church, which he purchased, it says, with his own blood. His church was that important to him. He bought it. We've been bought with a price today. Jamie.